Hey, this morning we're starting a new sermon series. It's called The Better Life. It's a super simple sermon series for literally anybody, no matter where you are on your journey with Jesus. If you're a lifelong dedicated Christian, and the moment you took your first breath of life, you looked the doctor in his eyes and you started singing Jesus Loves Me, if that's you, this summer series is for you too. If you're a church hopper, where you go to different churches in the area or online, depending on if you want to get dressed up in your Sabbath best or depending on what Netflix series you're watching, this series is for you. Maybe you're just searching for a church home. Maybe this is your very first time in a church. No matter what your journey is with Jesus, this is for you. And here's the best part is I'm totally ripping this series off. Not from Mark Finley, not from Andy Stanley, not from Jeff Patterson. I'm ripping it off from Jesus himself. He spoke these revolutionary words that blindsided the world. And I hope and pray that as we discover Jesus' words through the Beatitudes, that we too understand what the blessed, better life really looks like. So let's pray and we'll dive into the word. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, for this incredible church that we get to serve and worship in. And as we've worshiped today, we felt your spirit, your presence here. May you continue to speak to our hearts and nudge us and tailor make words to fit just the situations that we're in. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's some context as we dive in. Jesus has called his first few disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They're stoked about following him. They're learning from him. They're watching him. They're mimicking him. They're following their mentor. And people from all over are just so excited to follow Jesus. They're flocking from by the hundreds to follow Jesus, kind of like Swifties follow Taylor. They're just drawn to him. It's like everybody wants to be with Jesus. There's something calming about his presence. There's something different about him. When he looks into your eyes, there's no judgment. It doesn't matter if you're a thief or a liar or an adulterer. He just accepts you and he wants you close to him. And so people from all over come and flock to him to be in his presence. They bring their cripple. They bring their lame. They bring their special needs kids. They bring the ones that have asthma. They flock to be with Jesus. And as Jesus is there with his disciples right there on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, the people have gathered on the beach. And as the crowd grows, he moves up the hill right there looking over the Sea of Galilee where he begins to speak to them. We hear his words in Matthew chapter 5. And if you've got your Bible, I invite you to open it to Matthew chapter 5. If you didn't bring a Bible, that's okay. There's a blue one in front of you, and you can follow along on page 683. And I'll give you just a minute to turn there as we read through these Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, page 683 in your pew Bible. I'll give you a second as you turn there. Matthew chapter 5. When you're there, say amen. Ooh, that's strong, very strong. All right, Matthew chapter 5, here's what it says in my Bible. Verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I mean, Jesus could have said anything. He could have stood up in front of the people and said, like a political ad, he could have said, "I'm running for president, and these are the promises I will give you." But he didn't. He could have stood up and done a magic show with all the miracles that he could do, but he didn't. He could have stood up and talked about the pressure of what he was carrying, but he didn't. In fact, what he talked about was you and me. He talked about a better life, the blessed life that comes as a result of knowing God. The Beatitudes, I think, are one of the most powerful parts of the entire Bible. In fact, one inspired author, she puts it this way, and I'm paraphrasing her words. She says, if all we had were the Beatitudes, we would have enough to be saved. Just in these few verses here, if that's all you had, you'd have enough to be saved. Jesus, he gave this massive crowd these eight beautiful Beatitudes that would change their lives forever, and I think it'll change your life too. You know, most commentators, they look at the Beatitudes and they don't look at them as proverbs, just one-off bits and little nuggets that'll help your life, but instead they look at it as a step, almost like a ladder that you take one step at a time as you get closer and closer to God. A growth with him is what it looks like. And as you fill your heart with these steps and move towards Jesus, the more blessed you are. Jesus wants more than anything for you to have the better life, the blessed life. In fact, let's talk about that word blessed just for a minute. What does it even mean to be blessed? Well, blessed isn't something that you can achieve. It's not a to-do list where if you do this, then you'll get this. It's a natural result of having a relationship with God. That's how you become blessed. Blessed is living a life with Jesus as he changes you into something that is blessed. In fact, in Greek, the word blessed means something very specific. But when we translate it into English, we typically say blessed is the same as, what would you say? Blessed is the same as, what would you say? Nothing? Are you awake? When we say blessed, you are blessed and you are happy. Would you say that? But the problem with happy is fully dependent on your circumstances. In the blink of an eye, happy changes, happy to sad. It's dependent on circumstances. I'll give you an example. Several years ago, my brother-in-law, here's a picture of him. This is Cleve Miller. I just saw him last week for about a week. He is one funny dude. He's full of life. He's an extrovert. If you ever talk to him, you're going to talk to him for at least an hour. I mean, this guy forever talks to you. Now, he was training for Ironman Louisville. I did it the year before, and he was doing it this year. And so he said, hey, Matt, I got a lot of training, so let's ride together. Let's go on some bike rides. And I said, okay, man, because there's only about one other place that I like to be more than on my bike, and that's the golf course. But I love to cycle. And so Cleve and I said, all right, let's go, man. So we met in Auburn, Georgia, got our bikes on, got our helmets on, shoes on, everything's ready to go. And we started riding, and it was a beautiful day. I mean, we were so happy. Like, this is happiness right here. Look at this. The joy on our face. Beautiful day. I mean, the weather is perfect. It's just gorgeous. And we're riding mile after mile. He was so much in better shape than I was, so I was just drafting off of him. And as we're cooking along, the clouds start to come in a little bit. It starts to drizzle, and that's okay. I've ridden through hundreds of miles in the rain. I did a whole half Ironman in rain. It was just pouring the whole time. It's okay. I've ridden and had 6 inches of water beneath your feet as you slosh through. It's okay. No big deal. As we're riding along, the road's getting a little slicker, a little wetter. We come to these railroad tracks that were coming across the road at an angle, and as I'm behind Cleve, he gets to the railroad tracks, and as soon as his tires touch the tracks, his bike slides out from underneath him, and he goes skidding across the pavement, and I'm right behind him, and I have a split second to think, what should I do? And I think, oh, I'll veer off to the side, but by the time I thought that, my tires were on the railroad tracks, and my bike slid out from underneath me. My head hit the ground, cracked my helmet in half, road rash all up and down my arms. My hip was all bruised, and we went from happy to sad in a split second. We went from happy to bleeding in a split second. Happiness is dependent on your circumstances, and that's why happy is not the same as blessed. Blessed is completely different, and I think you've got some, well, we'll get there. Happiness, as the world understands it, is conditioned by circumstances, but blessedness is God-conditioned. He's the only one that can give blessings or make you have a blessed life. The Greek word for blessed is this word makarios. It's something that happens not externally, but it happens on the inside. It's not something that you can earn. It's not something you get from the outside. It's the fullness of God living inside you. It's our life with God in us. This is the type of blessedness that Jesus talks about. It's a life fulfillment as God fills you. Not something that you achieve, not something that you try to earn, not something that you are going for. It's the natural result of God living inside your life. And where does the blessedness come from? Pretty easy, actually. In fact, one of the greatest commentators on the Beatitudes, his name is Spyros Zodiades. Great name, right? I know some of you pregnant moms are thinking, man, that's a great name. Spyros Zodiades. Beautiful. Here's what he says. He says, Christians are not blessed because of what the world may give them, but because of what God has given them through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all sufficient. He said, your blessedness comes from God living in you, specifically Jesus inside you. Paul says the same thing. He puts it like this in Ephesians. He says this. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, through Jesus. You can't gain the better life by earning it. You can't get the better life by working for it. To be makarios blessed is to have the character and qualities of God as he fills you and shapes you into his image. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. That's why Jesus, when he says, blessed be the poor in spirit, it's like he's saying, oh, the blessedness of them. He's not looking for people to be mourners. He's not saying, I wish there would be more people that mourn. I wish there'd be more people that are hungry and thirsty. He's saying, oh, the blessedness of those that are, because they're growing in a relationship with Jesus. As we allow Jesus to change our lives, we become blessed. And so with all that context and preamble on the Beatitudes, we get to the very first one for today. It's Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. We've read it already. Here's what it says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You think Jesus is talking about money? You think he's judgmentally reading the bank accounts of all the people that are there in front of him, saying, oh, you've overdrafted. Oh, you should pay more tithe. I don't think so. I don't think this has anything to do with money. Although if you read Luke's version of this, you might think so. Here's how Luke puts it. Luke says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And the difference is that Luke, he writes maybe these same words, or maybe Jesus shared it again at another time, and Luke writes to a different group. He writes to Gentiles. Gentiles not thinking spiritually, but they're just thinking physically. They think practically. They think, what do they have in my wallet right now? And Luke says, hey, blessed are the ones of you blessed are you that don't think you can earn your way to heaven because of how much money you have. Yet Matthew writes to Jews who are thinking spiritually. Matthew's not writing about money. He's writing about humility, poor in spirit. Jesus essentially is saying, you can be physically poor and still be blessed, but you must be humble in spirit if you want to have the divine blessedness that comes from a life with God. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor? You know, there's two Greek words that for the word poor. The first one is paneia, and the second one is ptokos. Paneia is an interesting one because it means somebody that has a job, they work their 40 hours a week, they make their money, but it's just not a lot. They're self-sufficient, they can handle it, they get their paycheck, they just can't have an iPhone, they've got a flip phone, or an Android. they make money, but they just can't buy the nicest clothes. They make money, they can survive, they just don't have the nicest things. They're self-sufficient. The other one is the word that Jesus uses. It's this word ptokos, and it's somebody that doesn't have enough for anything. They can't afford anything, and so they are fully reliant on somebody outside of them to help them survive. Are you following me? One self-sufficient, one needs somebody else to help. When I think of this ptokos, it makes me think of newborn babies. It's been a little while since I've had a newborn baby, but newborn babies are absolutely helpless. They can't do anything. In fact, here's a picture of one of mine right here. There's Caffrey. Sorry, bud, you're in a diaper in front of the entire church. Look at that dude. I mean, this is like minutes after he arrived in the world, and the nurse whisked him away, and they washed him up, they cleaned him up, they got a diaper on him, and there she is holding him up. Babies, you gotta change their diaper, you gotta feed them, you gotta get them to sleep. They can't even go to sleep on themselves. They can't even hold their heads up. The nurse has to hold, there's a little baby this morning I was looking at, and they hold the head because they can't even hold their heads up. And as Jesus describes the poor in spirit, he says, patokos, like a little baby that can't do anything, that is fully reliant on somebody else. Jesus says, blessed are the patokos in spirit, the ones that are completely reliant on somebody else. The poor in spirit cannot earn their own salvation, must rely on somebody else. This is a fill in the blank for you study guides. It's only as we empty ourselves of ourselves that God can fill us with himself through Jesus. It's then we become filled, whole, and blessed. It's only after we say, you know what? I have to rely on somebody else. It's then that you can become blessed. It's only after you are say, I have to be reliant on you, Jesus, that you become blessed. But Jesus says, you're poor in spirit. He gives a location. It's not poor material things, not monetary things, poor in spirit, or another way to say that is simply humble. Only those who are humble will ever seek God and say, I need you, and that's how you are blessed. Humility is the first step into the kingdom of heaven. Pride is the wall that keeps man out. It's like Jesus says to you and me this morning, Forest Lake Church family, here's what I can do for you. I can make you blessed, bring God to you, and cause him to dwell within you, but you have to let me. You've got to see your need for me and empty yourself so you can be filled with me. It's only as we become poor in spirit, as we become humble, as we see our need for him, that he can make us blessed. Several years ago, I was pastoring in the northeast side of Atlanta in the Buford Family Seventh-day Adventist Church, a little small, rapidly growing church, lots of incredible kids and families there. And on one Sabbath morning, one of the church members got a call from somebody they didn't even know. I don't even know how this person got their phone number. But they said, I would like to come to church today. Could you pick me up at Waffle House? So this man, he's driving to church, and he stops over at Waffle House, and he meets this man named Charles. They go to church, they walk in the front door, and the church member brings Charles over to me because he wanted to meet me. And so we go back to my little office there, and I close the door, and he sits in his chair, and I sit in my chair. And as we're sitting there, I begin to smell something. It's kind of burns your nose a little bit, and it doesn't smell too good. It smells old. And as I sit there in that enclosed space, I realize it's him. He stinks. It's bad. And as I try to, casually cover my nose to talk with him, he begins to tell me his story. He's a homeless guy, been on the streets for years. He told me that he had been beat up 10 times in his life. The last time was 2 weeks prior. You could still see the scabs and the cuts and the bruises on his face. He says, I don't trust anybody. He says, I don't trust you or your church. He's sitting there. We're in the same room. I don't trust you. Why are you here, bud, We're sitting there talking. He says, listen, when I was a baby, he said, my mom left me on the bed of a hotel room, and I haven't seen her since. Turns out she was a prostitute, and she couldn't deal with this child. She left him on the bed. The manager of the hotel found him there on the bed. He lived with this manager for a while, and the abuse started pretty quickly after that. After a while, he ran away from home. This is several years, his life's speeding up. He meets this beautiful girl. They fall in love, and he decides he wants to marry her. But just months before they get married, she dies. And this is a terrible story. He's thinking, how can I trust anybody else? I can't trust my mom. I can't trust the manager. I can't even trust my future wife. She dies on me. He continues life. A few years later, he meets this other beautiful girl. They get married, and 2 years after they get married, she gets cancer and she dies. His story is awful. It continues on. It's so bad. He's lived his whole life in a place of distrust, in a place of self-sufficiency. I don't need anybody. I don't care about anybody. He's there at my church, and he says, "I don't trust you, but I'm here today." I said, "Man, I'm just so glad you are here." He went and sat on the back pew of the church because he had bowel issues, and just in case he needed to make a quick exit, he was there. And during prayer time, word got out that he was there, and people started praying for him and thinking about him. And after the worship service, I was at the back door, and people after people came coming to me, and they'd shake my hand, and I would feel something crumpled up in my hand, and I'd look down, and it would be $100 bills, and they would say, "You know who this needs to go to." Several, $300-$400 for this guy. And so after church, I took this guy to the fellowship lunch, and I sat with him, and he ate two platefuls. He was hungry. He's living on the streets. And it was fun to sit next to him because I could watch his whole body language change. You could see his attitude change from someone that didn't need anybody else, didn't trust anybody else, to becoming someone that realized that this warm, friendly church wanted him to be there and he could trust them. We boxed up some food for him to go. He asked one thing. He didn't ask for money. He just said, "Can you take me up to Cartersville, Georgia?" 45 minutes away, just on the other side of Atlanta. We said, "We can do that, man." So a couple of the church members said, "We'll give up our Sabbath afternoon nap, so we'll take this guy over across Atlanta." And so they said, "Well, meet us over here. We got to go home first." And so Jen and Caffrey and I, we got in our 4Runner. We got this guy in there too. He had his bag full of dirty, stinky clothes and shoes. It was gross. And he put it in the back. And we got in our 4Runner and we were driving home. And on the way home, we passed Walmart. And so we pull into the Walmart parking lot and we drive down to the front door. And I said, "Hey, Charles, I need to get my kid home for his nap. And I'll let my wife go there too. Is it okay if I drop you off here? You go shopping, pick out whatever you need. Our church wants to cover it for you." And he said, "Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that, Pastor Matt." And so I dropped him off at the front door and I took Jen and Caffrey home. And on the way back to Walmart, I realized something, that in the back of our 4Runner, there was his only things that he had to his name, that backpack full of his junky stuff that meant the world to him, yet he trusted us enough to leave it in the back. Are you hearing me? Can you see the change? I don't trust you, I don't trust your church, I don't trust anybody, to, "Yeah, you can have all of my life belongings, and I believe you'll come back." So 15 minutes later, I show up at Walmart, I walk in the front door, and there's Charles, smiling ear to ear. He's got a buggy full of clothes, shoes, socks, underwear. Praise the Lord, he's got it all. We went through the checkout, and I used all that cash from the church members and paid for all of his stuff. I drove him over to this church member's house that was going to take him to Cartersville, and he was in a completely different space. He climbed into the passenger seat, and he closed the door, and he leaned his head against the window, almost like he was trusting these people enough that he would just go to sleep. He just trusts them, these strangers. The story continues that they took him all the way to Cartersville, and he said, "Just drop me off at the Waffle House. That'll be fine." And they said, no, you deserve more than this." So they take him to a hotel, and they said, "We want to pay for an entire week's worth of hotel for you." And he said, "Are you serious?" They get out of the car, they go in, they get him settled in his room. That night, it snowed in Atlanta. Atlanta gets snow. This was several, 3 or 4 inches worth. And instead of him being somewhere in the woods, instead of finding a warm spot over a sewer grate, instead of being up under a bridge somewhere, he was living the better life, the blessed life, the best life that he could have, living like a king with a warm shower and a heater and a comfortable bed. And he experienced the better, blessed life because he understood that he needed help from somebody else. This morning, no matter where you are in your journey with Jesus, whether you've accepted him a long time ago, or if you're at a place where pride has gotten in the way, where you feel like you're self-sufficient, Jesus says, "Blessed are those that are humble enough to see their need, and they will become blessed. I want to pray for you this morning, this afternoon, and in the middle of the prayer, I'm just going to invite you to talk to Jesus. And if you need to ask him to help you with a prideful heart or just tell him that you need, you can do that. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this morning, we know our need for Jesus. This morning, as we're all just people stumbling along in life, trying to understand who you are, may you fill us with your Spirit. May you fill us with a knowledge of our need so that we can be filled with you. So God, in this moment, I'm just going to be quiet and let us talk to you. So hear our hearts as we tell you that we need you. God, all I can say is that we love you and we can't wait to see you. In Jesus' name, amen.